The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Essa
and Jonathan Thompson.
In the headlines, Supreme Court dismisses petitioner's application requesting KPMG to determine unique count of pink sheets in evidence. Additional LPG terminals to be built in Tema and Takrade to ensure uninterrupted gas supply. MPP challenges government to restore fiscal discipline to address difficulties facing the economy. Scrap dealers ask government to review ban on exportation of ferrous metals to save industry. Opposition groups in Egypt reject interim president's timetable to restore democracy. And black satellites clash with French opponents in FIFA Under 20 World Cup semi-finals today. First, a summary by Jonathan Thompson.
The Supreme Court has dismissed an application by the petitioners requesting accounting firm KPMG to establish the total unique count of pink sheets from available evidence filed with the court. The court, in dismissing the application, says the KPMG report is auxiliary evidence and that any doubt over the pink sheet could be cleared through cross-examination of EC boss Dr. Kwejo Afarijan. The Ministry of Energy and Petroleum and the National Petroleum Authority are working together on ways to ensure uninterrupted supply of liquefied petroleum gas. Announcing this at a colloquium by the NPA, the Chief Director at the Ministry, Professor Thomas Akabza, said additional gas terminals would be constructed in Tema and Takrade to facilitate a functional deregulated petroleum downstream industry. The MPP has bemoaned the challenges facing the country's economy and has suggested ways of addressing them. At a press conference yesterday to present the party's position on the state of the economy, a former Minister of Finance in the Kufuor administration, Yao Safumafu, said one of the ways of saving the economy is for government to restore fiscal discipline in all departments of the public sector. The new election timetable announced by Egypt's interim leader, Adli Mansour, to stop the ongoing unrest has been rejected by the main liberal opposition coalition. The plan by the Mansour regime anticipates changes to the Islamist-drafted constitution. Egypt has been in turmoil since democratically elected President Morsi was overthrown by the army last week. And Ghana's black satellites will this afternoon clash with their French counterparts in the semi-finals of the ongoing FIFA Under 20 World Cup in Turkey.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news in detail. The Supreme Court has dismissed an application by the petitioners requesting accounting firm KPMG to establish the total unique count of pink sheets from available evidence filed with the court. The petitioners had wanted KPMG to identify some 1,545 pink sheets the firm set aside because they contain incomplete data by resorting to the further and better particulars they filed with the court. Lead counsel for the petitioners, Philip Addison, argued that setting aside 1,545 pink sheets amounts to exclusion of evidence. However, all the three respondents opposed the application on the grounds that it is belated and goes beyond the mandate of KPMG. The court, in dismissing the application, said the KPMG report is auxiliary evidence and that any doubt over the pink sheets could be cleared through cross-examination of EC boss Dr. Kwejo Afarijan. Bubu Klinogo reports.
International accounting firm KPMG was appointed an independent referee to undertake a faithful and truthful count of all the pink sheets filed with the registry of the Supreme Court. This followed incessant disagreement between the petitioners and the respondents over the exact number of pink sheets filed by the petitioners. KPMG, on the 24th of last month, submitted its final report to the court, in which it indicated that the total unique pink sheets filed amounted to 8,675. the firm also indicated that it could not establish the identity of some 1,545 pink sheets because they contain incomplete data or ineligible information. The petitioners, however, argued that the 3,545 pink sheets could be easily identified in one way or the other.
For the 28, Rule 4, 3, Sub 3 and 4, my lord, Sub 3 provides that on receiving the referee's report, the court may A. adopt the report in whole or in part, B. vary the report, C. require an explanation from the referee, D. remit the whole or any part of the question or issue originally referred to the referee for further consideration by the referee or any other referee, or E. decide the question or issue originally referred to the referee on the evidence taken before the referee, either with or without additional evidence. And 4 provides that notwithstanding sub-rule 3, where the report of a referee has been made in the course of matter which has been adjourned, any party may on the next hearing date apply orally to the court to adopt the report or with leave of the court give not less than 4 days notice by motion for the court to vary the report or to remit the course of matter or any part of it for rehearing or further consideration to the same or any other referee. My lord, as indicated on our motion paper, this application has been brought firstly to determine the polling station names and codes of the 1,545 pink sheet with incomplete data and determine the unique count thereof, and to do so with the aid of either the further and better particulars filed by the petitioners or the official list of 26,002 polling stations established by the second respondent for the 2012 general election. The occasion has been necessitated by the fact that these matters that we seek to have considered by the court leaves the report incomplete.
In opposing the application, counsel for President Mahama, Dr. Abdul Basit Bamba, argued that the motion is incompetent since it was not properly brought before the court and that it fell beyond the original mandate of KPMG.
Alors, we are vehemently opposed to the instant application. Alors, this application is one of the species of applications filed by the petitioner to unduly prolong the hearing and the conclusion of this case. Our application lacks merit and should be dismissed. My lord, the order given to the referee is quite specific in terms of what the referee should do. Very, very, very specific. There's no ambiguity about the order. I think this application is even incompetent because order 28 clearly is not a basis for this application. Order 28 talks about when you receive the report, this report is already in evidence. What you are seeking to do is recall standard is already in evidence, and that is clearly incompetent.
Counsel for the EC, James Kwashi Aiden, noted that the application came too late in the day and when granted would unnecessarily delay proceedings.
My lord, I'm relying on the affidavit in opposition that we have filed to this application, and I wish to emphasize in particular that having contested the elections in all 275 constituencies in Ghana and having appointed agents to all the 26,002 polling stations in the constituencies, and having been able to file the initial petition, the first amended petition, and the second amended petition, in addition to several interlocutory applications before this honorable court, and the lengthy affidavit filed on behalf of the petitioners by the second petitioner, at this late stage in this suit, the instant application is to cause an undue delay, bearing in mind that the burden of proving their case lies on the petitioners.
For his part, counsel for the NDC, Chachi Chikata, associated himself with the submissions made by the other respondents. He further stated that all the pink sheets filed by the petitioners were identified and listed by KPMG.
I lost the opposed to this application, and I would associate myself with the submissions made by the first respondent in respect of matters to which we have deposed affidavits, and also to the legal submission just made by counsel for the second respondent. My lord, I would further point out that Appendix E5, which is in Volume 5 of the report, explicitly sets out the exhibit numbers
of the 1,545 exhibits that are stated to be unclear. Not only that, in volume 1, the report itself, in appendix A2.1 to appendix A2.24, where the data is captured according to the categories from paragraph 44 of the affidavit to paragraph 67, wherever the exhibit is recorded with whatever identification marks are available, those are recorded. And in the remarks column, there is the indication of whether it's an unclear polling station code or whether it's an unclear exhibit number or whatever unclarity there is. So the report of the referee addresses both 1 and 2 of your lordship's order comprehensively. What the petitioners are here seeking to do is effectively go outside the orders that were given by this court to the referee.
After the lunch break, presiding judge Justice William Atuguba read the ruling of the court.
Any perceived difficulties still lingering can be cleared through cross-examination of the second respondent. To facilitate matters, we direct that the petitioners list out the 1,545 polling stations which they claim they have been able to identify despite the unclarities for the second respondent to respond to. Subject to this, the application is dismissed.
Meanwhile, sitting will be adjourned at 2 p.m. on Wednesday to enable the state broadcaster, the GBC, to telecast live the semi-final match between Ghana's Black Satellites and France in the ongoing FIFA Under 20 World Cup tournament in Turkey.
Ubu Klinogo reporting.
The Ministry of Energy and Petroleum says it is working with the National Petroleum Authority on measures to ensure uninterrupted supply of liquefied petroleum gas in the country. The Chief Director of the Ministry, Professor Thomas Akabza, said the measures include the restructuring of the Bulk Oil Storage and Transportation Company Limited and the Tema Oil Refinery. Professor Akabza disclosed that additional gas terminals will be constructed in Tema and Takoradi to facilitate a functional deregulated petroleum downstream industry. The chief director was speaking at a meeting colloquium on downstream deregulation by the National Petroleum Authority in Accra. Rebecca Efe joined the colloquium.
The National Petroleum Authority, NPA, is deliberating on the deregulation of the petroleum downstream sector in Ghana and its performance. The downstream sector involves the refining of crude and the importation, distribution, and sale of petroleum products. The NPA was established by government to address the challenges in the petroleum industry, especially inefficiencies, by promoting private sector participation. How efficient has the NPA been in its work? Alex Mould is chief executive.
The government's involvement in petroleum prices has almost resulted in huge under-recoveries by the Tema Oil Refinery, leading to significant debt on the books of toll. Also, the inefficient operation of some of the petroleum infrastructure, as well as the importation of crude oil and petroleum products in the country.
To dialogue on a way forward, NPA has brought together players in the petroleum industry that believes that deregulation, which is allowing market forces to determine prices, does not mean no regulation. NPA's chief executive, Alex Moore, says it will not compromise quality and compliance in the petroleum industry.
There is going to be a complete change in paradigm in the way we do business. People will have to look at their business models, they will have to understand the environment, and they also have to look at their strategy and align their resources they have, financial and people, to be able to compete in this industry.
The Ministry of Energy and Petroleum says it will support the NPA in propelling the industry. Professor Thomas Akabza is chief director.
Areas that we're looking at include the restructuring of BOS and toll. In the case of BOS, the ministry has taken a step to transfer a number of facilities from BOS to the Volta Lake Transport Company by facilitating an MOU that was signed 2 weeks ago. We think that this move would help with payment of margins.
Professor Akabza gave modalities on how government intends to streamline deregulation of the petroleum downstream industry in Ghana.
All these changes that we anticipate, we promise that they will be done very transparently and consultatively, particularly with our partner, the union, to ensure that no action becomes very contentious.
Chief Director, Ministry of Energy and Petroleum, Thomas Akabza, ending that report by Rebecca Ekpe.
The NPP has prescribed to government 6 ways of addressing the challenges facing the economy and to enhance the standard of living of the people. One of the ways is for government to restore fiscal discipline in all departments and agencies in the public sector. The NPP says months after government presented the 2013 economic policy to the nation with proposed remedies to the challenges, the economy is still in tatters and things are getting worse. The party stated this at a press conference yesterday to present its position on the state of the economy. The 10-page document titled Ghana's Troubled Economy, Where Are the Remedies?, sought to bring to the fore what the party perceived to be the ills of the economy. A former Minister of Finance in the Kufu administration, Yao Safumafu, addressed the media. Correspondents Dominic Mulogi and Augustus Akwei have filed this report.
The NPP mentioned fiscal deficit, huge arrears, unbridled overspending, worsening unemployment and deteriorating utility services as some of the challenges facing the economy. Flanked by some leaders of the party and the minority MPs in parliament, a former Minister of Finance and Economic Planning in Kufuor's administration, Yao Safumafu, who addressed the media, said prices of goods and services are rising as a result of increased fuel prices. He said instead of government reducing waste, fighting corruption and directing savings into productive sectors of the economy, government is rather seeking to squeeze more money from businesses and ordinary Ghanaians by introducing several taxes into the system.
The NPP haven't been in government before in the sense that the need could arise for any government to institute tax measures to raise money for national development. But we have to do it within the context. However, on this occasion, we do not need an economist to tell us that imposing all the tax measures at a go to squeeze money from businesses and ordinary Ghanaians will only hurt the economy and growth and lead to job losses and more poverty. You can't hike taxes at one go, treating everybody in the system, treating every industry in the system, treating every farmer in the system. And the cut losses come under tariffs and allies. The NDP government's solution to Ghana's economic growth is borrow money, have Ghanaians and spend it. And in the process, create more opportunities for corruption.
On the way forward, the party suggested 6-point interventions. It says government must restore fiscal discipline in all departments of the public sector, tackling corruption, cease payments of huge debts, reduce its appetite for borrowing from both domestic and foreign sources, and have a focused plan to enhance revenue mobilization, revive the ailing agricultural sector, create jobs, and ensure that only competent people are appointed to man the affairs of the nation.
So what should government do? First, government must restore fiscal discipline in all departments of the public sector. The government's economic management style, consisting of reckless spending, more borrowing, and increased taxation, will lead to economic suicide. Inefficient spending and excessive spending on programs such as municipal development, drink lighting, and data should be eliminated to avoid waste and corruption. Second, government should reduce its appetite for borrowing. Third, there must be a focused plan to enhance revenue mobilization, but not through increased taxation. Fourth, these efforts must then be followed by a plan to revive the ailing agriculture sector and economy. Fifth, job creation should top priority for the government. Job creation reduces poverty, and strong local businesses are the key to ending poverty and bringing development. High lending rates, non-payment of contractors, doing so, and excessive taxation only serve to increase the cost of doing business. Finally, government must appoint competent people to man the affairs of this nation rather than put square pegs around holes.
Former Minister of Finance in the Kufu administration, Yao Safumafu, ending that report by Dominic Mulogi and Augustus Sakui.
The Controller and Accountant General's Department has officially launched a website to improve on public information management. The website will also ensure that the organization meets the hopes and aspirations of Ghanaians and other stakeholders. The Minister of Finance, who launched the website, said the move is another effort by government to address the challenges in public financial management, which could not yield much results due to the uncoordinated manner in which it was implemented in the past. Here's a report by Naomi Comey and Rachel Ahin.
The minister said the public investment program is to deal with issues affecting capital budget. The integrated personal and payroll project is also aimed at ensuring efficient management of government wage bill. The implementations of these projects, according to the minister, resulted in government's inability to achieve its overall objectives. He said the launch of the website will improve the fiscal discipline and macroeconomic stability. Mr. Tepe said the initiative is to let the world know what government has achieved in ensuring transparency, accountability and prudence in public financial management. He encouraged all to patronize the website to appreciate government's efforts at managing public funds. The Controller and Accountant General Grace Ajuro said the websites have been designed to provide comprehensive information on timely basis on how public funds are managed. She said with cabinet approval of the Rights to Information Bill, the department has published the annual public accounts report on the website to enable Ghanaians appreciate how funds from the consolidated funds are managed. The website is www.cagd.gov.gh.
Naomi Kome and Rachel Ahin's report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Supreme Court dismisses petitioner's application requesting KPMG to determine unique count of pink sheets and evidence. Additional LPG terminals to be built in Tema and Takoradi to ensure uninterrupted gas supply. MPP challenges government to restore fiscal discipline to address difficulties facing economy. Scrap dealers ask government to review ban on exportation of ferrous metals to save industry. Opposition groups in Egypt reject interim president's timetable to restore democracy, and black satellites clash with French opponents in FIFA and the 20 World Cup semifinals today. Stay with us.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. Scrap Dealers Advocate, a group that has been canvassing support for scrap dealers, believes the ban is adversely affecting the survival of dealers and adding up to the number of unemployed people. The spokesperson for the group, Nanofo Ryusu, said the group is not against the protection of the local smelting industry, but believes the dealers should be allowed to export the scraps so as to earn some income.
You cannot write a legislative instrument that is just blanket, does not give description to the various different types of scraps that are available and the ones that can be absorbed locally. You see, we are not against protecting local industry, far from it. What we are saying is that the residue, the other material, which is unable to be absorbed and used, is still just in Ghana. You must allow an opportunity for the people who collect these scraps to export it and make some foreign currency into their pocket.
Now the spokesperson for Scrap Dealers Advocate, Nanofo Ryusu.
And commenting on the scrap dealers issue, the MP for Ipiapim South and chairman of the subsidiary legislative committee in Parliament, Obi Amua, said the ban is a policy issue for the ministry but not for Parliament to talk about. He said the role of Parliament is to see whether the law is constitutional and conforms to other legal requirements. Mr. Amua added that the ministry is supposed to evaluate what has gone on, and if there is any problem, it can be brought back to Parliament for deliberation.
Actually, Minister for Trade made a request to Parliament through the proposed LI. The LI was laid in Parliament. And our committee considered the LI as required by the Constitution. After 21 days, it became the law, and the effect is that there's now a ban on export of scraps. What the ministry said was that there was an administrative ban, but now they were bringing an LI as required for the ban to be legal, and that's what they brought to Parliament. So it's a policy issue for the ministry. It's not for us in Parliament to talk about the policy issue. It's for us to see whether, one, the law is constitutional, see whether it conforms with all the requirements under our standing orders and under the Constitution. We reported back to Parliament, and unanimously, Parliament accepted it for it to be part of the law. So it's for the ministry to evaluate what has gone on. If there are any problems, they should come back to Parliament for amendment to be made, and we do so. We don't determine policy. What we do is to look at what the ministry has brought, and this is what we did.
That was the MP for Ipiapim South and chairman of the subsidiary legislative committee in Parliament, Obi Amwa.
Representatives from the Controller and Accountant General's Department and the Attorney General's Department appeared before the Judgment Debt Commission yesterday at the Old Parliament House in Accra. The Controller and Accountant General's Department was there in respect of more than 47,000 Ghana cedis released by the Bank of Ghana to the Finance Ministry to pay as compensation to some individuals. The Attorney General's Department appeared to clarify issues on payments captured in the Auditor General's report. The department was subpoenaed in respect of the case Philip Abudoga versus the IGP and Attorney General. Here is Ernest Obinganin's report.
The Deputy Controller and Accountant General in charge of financial services, Andrews Kingsley Kwejo-Kufi, represented the department. He could provide any information to the commission because the subpoena was wrongly delivered. Mr. Kufi was, however, shown a copy of the subpoena sent to his office and asked to furnish the commission with all documents on the more than 47,000 Ghana cedis released for payment of compensation to some individuals. The Ministry of Finance was represented by the Chief Director, Major Mahama Tara. The Commissioner, Justice Yao Apo, explained to the Chief Director why MOFEP was invited.
Now, the release file has a file number. All the release files, the set of this thing, the file number starts with B159. Yes. Something. We've called you here because you noticed that in the Attorney General's report, all files starting with B159, P159, had something to do with judgment debt payments. Now, with regard to this particular file, there was no indication as to whether there were judgment debt payments or not. There's only, I think, one or two which are JD, which indicates that they are judgment debts. This commission is dealing with judgment debts. I know the Auditor General's report talks about a whole lot of things, you know, which has something to do with accounting within the various government departments and DS. But we are dealing with judgment debts. So that's why we invite, because it's not so clear, apart from those which are JD, that's why we saw. There is something, this B159 does not relate to judgment debts alone, but can relate to other payments, then you make that clear.
The Chief Director of MOFEP, Major Tara, clarified the sources of certain payments.
That was Ernest Obinganin's report. We'll be back after this break.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back now to the international front. The main liberal opposition coalition in Egypt has rejected interim leader Adli Mansour's decree, which sets a new election timetable to stop the unrest. The National Salvation Front is demanding more changes and consultation on the document. The Muslim Brotherhood, which supports ousted Islamist President Mohamed Morsi, and the Tamarod protest movement earlier rejected the decree. The Mansour plan also envisages changes to the Islamist drafted constitution. Egypt has been in turmoil since President Morsi was overthrown by the army last week, which protesters both for and against the ousted president massing on the street.
Football. The Black Satellites, after a slow start in the ongoing FIFA Under 20 World Cup in Turkey, have progressed steadily and will be seeking revenge against the Les Bleus of France later today. Speaking on Radio Ghana, a sports analyst, Carl Tufour, said he is confident the boys will carry the day, even though they are without some key players. He said though the Satellites are going into the game as the underdogs, anything is possible. He advised them to be focused, purposeful, and give up their best. More importantly, they must put the coach's advice into practice.
An extremely difficult match to win. The French have been extremely good. They've won every match and have been playing the sort of football that we wish to play. Ghana, on the other hand, have, after a slow start, as you said, have started banging the goals. But the worry for most Ghanaians is that we're conceding absolutely too many, and that's where we would need to work at it.
Anna, do you think the boys are in good shape and frame of mind to beat France?
Well, it's one thing having lost 3-1 in the first match. Psychologically, you'll probably go in as underdogs. I mean, if the French have won the first match, then it's likely to be that they'll start as favourites. But, you know, there have been funnier and crazier things that have happened in football. And you never know what could happen. So I'm not going to write off the chances of the under-20 team. However, they will start as the underdogs, particularly when they've got about 2 or 3 players who are now suspended.
But, Carl, you agree with me that some key players would miss this crucial matter. How would it affect the team?
Well, definitely it's going to affect them because they've been extremely, you use the words, they've been playing the game the way they've been played. As to whether they've got enough and adequate replacement, another matter altogether. But like I said, they will start as underdogs. They'll need to have a focus and a purpose and give more than the usual 100%. It should be more than 100%. Anything less than that, then probably wouldn't end exactly right for the team.
Has luck really played a role for Ghana's progression? Looking at the fact that we lost our first two matches and scraped through on technicalities.
I'm not too sure about whether we lost on technicalities, because the truth of the matter is this. We all know how to qualify and how not to qualify. It says that the team that qualifies, the first two in each group qualifies, and then the four best placed 30 do that. As far as I'm concerned, that's no technicality.
What advice can you give to the satellites?
Play to the best of your ability, play to the whistle, don't let anything take you from the purpose that you want to do. Anything less than 150% will not suffice. That's about it. Go on, get on with the business of winning the match.
Your sports analyst, Carl Tufour.
Now to end the news and main points again. The Supreme Court has dismissed an application by the petitioners requesting accounting firm KPMG to establish the total unit count of pink sheets from available evidence filed with a court. The Ministry of Energy and Petroleum and the National Petroleum Authority are working together on ways to ensure uninterrupted supply of liquefied petroleum gas in the country. And the Ghana's black satellites will this afternoon clash with their French counterparts in the semifinals of the ongoing FIFA Under 20 World Cup in Turkey. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson
and Samuel Essa in Accra.